Thank you for joining us today for Export 101, a focus on women-owned business. I am Anna Kate Pillay, Communications and Educational Programs Manager for Women Impacting Public Policy. I'm pleased to introduce a familiar moderator for this webinar, Ann Sullivan. Ann is in charge of WIPS Government Relations in Washington, D.C., and brings many years of government relations experience in the United States Senate and the House of Representatives. Her expertise includes government procurement, healthcare, export services, and tax issues affecting small businesses. Ann?
Thank you, Anna Kate. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining our webinar on export. This is something new for us. WIP launched Export Now last week as an outreach program to connect women-owned businesses with business opportunities across the world. As part of our mission to try to assist women-owned businesses with exporting, we're going to do a series of webinars from experts that we've identified to try to help you understand the scope, the resources that are out there, how to get started, and basically give you a pretty good understanding of whether or not exporting is for you or if it isn't. We envision our Export Now program to be a little like our Give Me Five program, which includes programming but then gets much more specific in terms of identifying opportunities for your business and exporting. But before we can do that, everybody first needs to know the basics about exporting. Just very briefly, wanted you to know, in case you didn't know this, that the Obama administration has made doubling exports a national priority. I think you probably heard it in the debate last night, that, you know, it's a global marketplace. Certainly, President Obama thinks that it's the kind of way to get our businesses back to being healthy and actually creating jobs and getting the economy back on track. A lot of times, large businesses are the ones that drive big initiatives like this, but in fact, small to medium-sized businesses are 98% of the export market already. So this is not something that big businesses do and small businesses somehow are supposed to learn from it. It looks to me, when I look at the numbers, and our speaker Ashley will definitely talk more about this, looks to me like it's really the small and medium-sized businesses that are already in it. Businesses that export triple the productivity of their non-exporting counterparts. I think that's really instructive to all of us as we look for new markets, as we look to see how we can expand our businesses. If it triples the productivity, then, you know, it's something that everybody ought to look into, at least. We also, in this vein, in rolling out Export Now, were able to partner with the Clinton Global Initiative that was held in, I think, June of this year, 2012. And our commitment to action really to the Clinton Global Initiative was that we would convene a community of global leaders to forge solutions to the world's most pressing challenges. And this challenge is to increase exports. So they're going to help us. It was important to get that on the platform at the Clinton Global Initiative. And so we're working with them to be able to provide everybody that is in WIP's reach with export information and helping them think about exporting. I think I've talked enough about our new initiative, and I don't have any new webinars right now to announce, but we're working on them. We're going to try to make them logical so that it steps you through the different facets of exporting. And with that, I'm pleased to introduce our speaker today, Ashley Zuhlke. Ashley is the Special Assistant for Export Policy, Promotion, and Strategy at the U.S. Department of Commerce's International Trade Administration, which is responsible for increasing export awareness and spreading existing resources. She is part of the President's National Export Initiative, and that export initiative is to increase exports by 2014. She also works with the Trade Promotion Coordinating Committee that coordinates all the federal agencies, all their work that they do on exports in one place, which sounds like it might be easier than it actually is to try to get all the federal agencies to be in one place and talk in one language. Prior to her current role, Ashley handled legislative affairs for the Commerce Secretary and was a fellow for international trade and on the Senate Finance Committee. She got her BA from the University of Montana in print journalism and political science, international relations, and comparative politics. So, Ashley, thank you so much for joining us, and the floor is yours.
Thanks, Ann, for that kind introduction, and thank you, everyone, for joining us today. I'm really pleased to be able to present on this topic and also pleased to see the Export Now webinar series. I think it's a great undertaking, and look forward to speaking with you about it today. So I wanted to provide an overview on exporting. It's quite comprehensive, but basically I wanted to start with some fast facts to show you that America's small and women-owned businesses have what it takes to compete successfully in the global economy. The National Export Initiative, as Ann mentioned, places a special emphasis on helping small businesses overcome the hurdles to entering new markets. Because small and medium-sized enterprises are responsible for generating 64% of all net new jobs, those businesses serve as the engine for the U.S. economy, and enhancing their export participation will help ensure that the nation's economic recovery stays on track. So first, to look at small businesses and their exports, you can see we have a graph on screen that shows the steady uptick in the number of small and medium-sized enterprises that are exporting. In fact, in 2010, we saw 287,000 small and medium-sized enterprises as exporters. That's up by 20% from 2000. And as Ann mentioned, small to medium-sized enterprises account for 98% of all identified exporters in 2010. And that debunks the myth that a company must be a large enterprise to export. So just to show you the share of exports that small businesses have, you can also see a steady uptick there, moving from about 27% in 2002 to 34% in 2010. And this trend of small businesses accounting for more exports is affected by the prominent role small companies play in competitive industries, such as environmental technologies and medical equipment. Additionally, the growth of the internet economy has allowed small companies to better market their products and services internationally at a fraction of the previous cost. Entering the export game can be daunting for small businesses, and it's telling that of the 287,000 companies that exported in 2010, about 60% of them only exported to one market, which is usually our neighbors, Canada or Mexico. But now just to discuss, women-owned businesses, and you have to forgive me, our latest data is from 2007, which was done through the Survey of Business with the Census, and I can tell you that we're actively working to ensure this data is captured with this year's economic census in 2012. And so you can see about 20,000 women-owned firms identified as exporters out of the 7.8 million women-owned firms in the U.S. But they had a large impact. They sold about $15 billion in merchandise exports, with the average business exporting about $767,000 in merchandise, which accounted for about 5% of the average business's receipts. So just to show you the impact exporting can have for a business, and particularly women-owned businesses. I put together a slide from the data we have on women-owned exporting companies and women-owned non-exporting companies. Just to kind of do a compare and contrast, you can see that there's a higher number of employees, substantially, a very much higher number of average annual receipts, which we say basically means total income plus the cost of goods sold. It's basically how it's defined on IRS tax return forms. And you can also see with productivity, as Ann mentioned, much higher levels for women-owned exporting companies. And so that last slide kind of showed you and just why export. You know, SME exporters, including women-owned SMEs, outperform their non-exporting counterparts. Higher revenues, they experience faster revenue growth and higher labor productivity. And just overall with businesses that are exporters, it's, you know, it makes you more competitive. Those businesses pay wages about 13 to 18% higher than other firms. And exporters are about 9% less likely to go out of business. But also, folks around the world want to buy what the U.S. has to sell. U.S. goods and services are known as the gold standard throughout the world. I mean, we have innovation, their quality, and they're safe. And just to think about the consumer base that's out there in the world, over 95% of the world's consumers live outside the United States. And more than 1 billion new middle-class consumers are expected worldwide over the next 15 years. And so just to take a step back from why export to the basics of exporting, and I'm sure many of you on the webinar do know, but some goods some folks aren't familiar with as exports, especially with services. And exporting is the sale of goods or services to a resident of a foreign country. You know, for goods, it's everything from cars to dog toys. For services, you know, we export healthcare services, education services when international students come to the U.S., and also international visitors, you know, staying in Las Vegas. They also count as an export. And so I wanted to talk to you guys about why we look at exports, mostly because they contribute to a couple of things. One of those is growth. I have an equation up here, some midday math for everyone. But basically, when we look at calculating how our country grows through GDP, there's a few factors. There's consumption, investment, government spending, and net exports. And when you think about where we were at in the midst of the financial crisis and look at which of these factors had the chance of improving the most, you know, consumption was down, investment holding steady, government spending uncertain, so exports was where we could gain the most. And exports contribute to about a quarter to a half of our GDP growth overall. They also support jobs. You can see I have a graph here, and it's varied over the years, but last year exports supported 9.7 million jobs, and it's a striking figure, and it helps they help create jobs as well. And something I don't have on here, but that's just an interesting fact, is that we're also finding that U.S. exports have a good amount of domestic content, which means that jobs are really going into our exports and helping promote our exports versus us getting, you know, supplies from overseas for U.S. exports. We're in a really good situation there. And one study finds that every $1 billion in new exports creates an additional 5,400 jobs. So just kind of exports have a great importance to looking at promoting our job growth. And that's why we've turned the national focus to exports. And the president announced the National Export Initiative, as Ann mentioned, in his 2010 State of the Union address. with the goal to double exports by the end of 2014, and I'm pleased to say we're making historic progress toward that goal. And so, to touch base on the National Export Initiative, we have five key areas of focus. One is to robustly enforce free trade. We're also seeking to increase access to export financing, especially, you know, for small and women-owned businesses like you. We also want to enhance your knowledge of emerging markets and improve our own trade advocacy and trade promotion efforts while promoting American ingenuity abroad, you know, and the gold standard that our products have set. So it looks like the graph doesn't show up on here, but there's, you know, as Ann mentioned, a number of agencies that touch exports in some sense, and, you know, we must all be coordinated in this effort. So there's about five core agencies, and we're all connected through a platform that I'd like to talk to you guys about, which is export.gov. And just to go over the five agencies, I'm sure you've worked with at least one of them. The first is Commerce, which is the department that I work with, and we bring to bear our expertise in overseas personnel and also our domestic field offices. You know, we also have industry experts and various resources to help you identify good markets for your business. We also work closely with the Small Business Administration to ensure that small and women-owned enterprises have the capabilities and know-how to start exporting. They also work with us on trade financing and have a number of good products that I'd like to talk with you about later. And we also work closely with the Export-Import Bank. They're the primary export credit agency of the U.S. And I can't forget the State Department, which we work with closely, and their overseas network. You know, when we can't have a commercial officer in a country, we partner with the State Department to make sure that there is someone on the ground who can advocate for U.S. companies. And so just to go back to the progress we've made so far on the National Export Initiative, we're seeing all-time record levels of U.S. exports. We're poised to exceed last year's export total of $2.1 trillion. We had our highest monthly level of exports on record in June, and so that just goes to show that despite a challenging international economic environment, we are making progress. And I have on this slide a few bright spots for our exports in manufacturing, agriculture, and travel and tourism. And you guys will all be receiving a slide deck later, so please do let us know if you have questions there if you're in one of those industries. And so to turn to you, this leads us to the question, if you aren't already an exporter, are you ready? And we've established criteria to indicate where a business is at in the export process. And in order to be export ready, you need to be a U.S. business entity, have an exportable and or commercially available product or service. This also calls for an executive-level management commitment. You know, resources and personnel are involved in the process of exporting, so having that high-level leadership on this effort is key. And also, an international business plan is a criteria to be export-ready and just to, you know, approach exporting with a plan and with markets you'd like to go into. And just to kind of point you to how you can assess your readiness, we have a link on the bottom here through export.gov. There it has a little bit more detailed of an assessment. Once you take the assessment, it's about 8 questions, and it'll actually score your business and then point you to the resources that are most applicable for your business and where you're at in the export process. As an overview of those, you know, if you determine through that process that you're not export ready at the moment, but could be soon, we'd encourage you to work with the Small Business Administration and their small business and women's business development centers, you know, we're increasingly training personnel at these centers to be able to help you become export ready. And I'll mention later the SBA's tools to actually build an international business plan. Also, I wanted to touch on a good resource across the U.S. There's a manufacturing extension partnership in every state. They all go by different names, but they all have an export tech program. And so these are manufacturing and business experts who can look at your business and address production capacity and product development issues and get you on track to be export ready. If you are ready and you are looking at a new market, there's a local U.S. Export Assistance Center through the Department of Commerce that you can contact, and we have a link here that describes or will point you to the right Export Assistance Center near you. What I wanted to go through was basically the wide variety of resources, and it's not meant to be overwhelming. It's more meant to show you the opportunities available and the flexibility in exporting to really show you that this is something you guys can do. And so where to start? I mentioned export.gov. It's your one-stop platform for starting to export. And on there, we also have a manual if, you know, you're kind of oriented toward that learning style that will talk you through everything. It's a basic guide to exporting, and it even has, you know, sample customs forms, and it goes into a lot of detail. So that's available on export.gov as well. And so I mentioned earlier just preparing your business through business counseling. That's the next step, you know, working with the Small Business Administration to hear from their trade experts in the field, to also work with them on their small business international plan, which is available online. It's very interactive, and I think we've gotten very good feedback on it, so I hope you guys are able to take a look at that. Okay, so after, you know, going through some preliminary business counseling, of course you want to look at the markets that are available. We have a wide variety of tools here, including on export.gov. Our officers and overseas posts have basically drawn up reports on each of their countries and the export profiles there, which are very helpful. And then, you know, you want to find the buyers themselves and make contacts. And with finding buyers, we have a variety of trade events and trade-focused things, from trade missions to the International Buyer Program, which brings buyers here, and almost like a reverse trade mission so that they can actually see production facilities and, you know, have more of an incentive to buy your product. We also work a lot through the commercial service, as I mentioned before, to help you make the contacts you need in foreign markets. You know, we'll conduct background investigations on companies that you're interested in working with, and so on. And part of our services that we have to help you make contacts, and this is something for once you guys have done a lot of prep work, it's called the Gold Key Matching Service. And whether you're looking for, you know, a representative abroad, distributors, government contacts, licensing or joint venture partners, the Gold Key service will find you the right people to fit your business development needs, no matter where your business takes you. We'll arrange appointments for you with pre-screen contacts whose interests and objectives match your own. And a commercial service specialist may also accompany you to meetings to provide counseling and local insight. And like I said, you know, this is for folks who have done their prep work and see a veritable market for their product and want to explore that more, because once you have done that prep work, these services can really pay off and make deals. And just to give you a sense of the cost of this service, it's $350 for a small to medium-sized company that's using it for the first time. You know, we keep down our costs purposefully for small and medium-sized enterprises. I wanted to touch briefly on financing because I'm sure, as most of you know, it's the biggest hurdle a company must overcome when it comes to exporting. There are many opportunities available, and they're very flexible. So just to glance at a high level on some of the programs, we have Export Development Guarantee Loans through the Small Business Administration. Something I wanted to point out is their Export Express Program, and it's basically streamlined financing for up to $500,000 as a term loan or revolving line of credit. And to give you a sense of flexibility here, it can be used to fund participation in a foreign trade show, finance a letter of credit, even translate product literature for a market you want to enter. You know, it can finance specific export deals, as well as expansions, equipment purchases, you know, basically even getting ready to export or expanding your business. This program can help, and that's the Export Express program, to reiterate. And then we also have working capital programs, which are also through the Small Business Administration and Export-Import Bank. The Small Business Program has a little bit fewer qualifications than the XM program. You know, for XM, they have a product requirement that 50% of the content must be produced here in the U.S. And I talk about working capital programs because most U.S. banks don't provide working capital advances on export orders, on export receivables, or letters of credit. So this is basically the government telling a lender, we stand behind this deal and we'll guarantee it. And I believe it's about a 90% guarantee. There's also export credit insurance through the Export-Import Bank because, I mean, the overall effort of exporting is for you guys to get paid. And, you know, we want to protect against the political and commercial risks of exporting. You know, say a place you're ready to do a deal, you know, falls into a little bit of a touchy political situation, and this can help you sort that out and just stand behind that deal. We also have a foreign buyer guarantee. And that basically can be a medium-term or long-term guarantee to cover the sale of capital items or project-related services overseas. And something that's not in the slide deck but I wanted to touch on because it's something that I'd encourage you to talk to your state office about is the recent State Trade and Export Promotion, or STEP, pilot grant initiative. A law was passed by Congress 2 years ago that basically gave states funding and required them to match it to help small business exporters with grant funding. And these grants are very flexible, a lot like the Export Express program. I mean, I believe you can even fund a gold key service through a STEP grant. So just to kind of show you the avenues you can take with financing, they are varied and usually flexible. And one of the slides actually focuses on the logistics of exporting. The census works through the automated export system, and that basically tracks exports worth over $2,500. We have that cap, so you do export a good over that, or, you know, a grouping of goods that totals more than that, you're required to fill out a form. But like we have at the end of the webinar, the census has webinars itself on purely filling out the right documentation for exporters, and they're very helpful. As far as shipping goes, we also have avenues through freight forwarders, and we have a link for you on the network of those as well so that you can find your local freight forwarder. And it's also important to understand regulations when you're approaching exporting, and this is something that once you are ready to export and working with a commercial service officer or other person who's helping you, they can help you feel out the regulations. You know, there are certain countries we cannot export to, And so we work through the Bureau of Industry and Security and Treasury in those cases. And, you know, once you surmount the financing and, get everything in a row, there's always, some issues that could come up when you're in the exporting process. And we stand ready to help with those as well through the commercial service. We have a trade agreements compliance program. So with the over 20 countries we have a trade agreement with, this office will work to make sure that the terms of those trade agreements are being filled and that, there's no discrimination against U.S. exports there. We also work to protect intellectual property, and we have a website called stopfake.gov, and I'd encourage you to check that out because when you are looking at exporting, there's, always the concern that you want to protect your intellectual property, and intellectual property laws are different depending on the country, so you often want to register in the country that you're looking at exporting to just to cover your bases. We also help to get you relief from unfair trade practices. As I mentioned, with the Trade Agreements Compliance Program, we do have officers in the field. You know, if something's being held up at customs or there's other, tariff discrimination going on, we'll definitely work to alleviate that. And if you're a contractor and say you're looking at contracts for foreign government projects, we have an arm of the Commerce Department called the Advocacy Center, and they will work to leverage all U.S. resources we can on behalf of your project, to make sure that there's a level playing field that your bid for a certain project is competing on. And, other countries have a robust effort for this. The president of France isn't afraid to call another foreign leader and talk about his companies and their bid for a certain project. And, the U.S. is stepping up to the plate as well. And I also touched briefly in the webinar on trade agreements because we do have new avenues opening through those. We implemented trade agreements with Colombia and Korea just this year, and so that lowered tariffs on a number of goods, and our exporters are really going to see the benefits there. We're also looking at Trans-Pacific Partnership negotiations. So that's going to open up, I want to say, anywhere from 9 to 12 countries who recently joined around the Pacific Rim, and we're also negotiating favorable trade terms with those countries right now. And at the end of the webinar, you have an index of useful websites, so please take advantage of that. And with that, and apologies for any, visual technical difficulties, but I'm happy to take questions, and if I can't answer them, I'll find someone who can. So, Anne?
Well, thank you very much, Ashley. Again, if you have a question you want to send to John, we have that email. It's jstanford at madisonservicesgroup.com. Excuse me. I was also looking to see, I saw somebody raise their hand, and I'm not sure if we took if we mentioned that, but I was looking in the chat box to see if we have any questions there. Basically, I think the only questions are how to get the slides and Ashley's contact information, which we're happy to share as well. So let me just ask you a few questions, Ashley. You gave us really good information on women that are exporting, but just give me a general sense of what the contribution of women is to the economy, the businesses, so we have some way to compare the statistics.
Definitely. And women-owned businesses contribute significantly to the U.S. economy. Again, I have 2007 data for that, but 7.8 million firms are owned by women, as cited in this presentation. But that accounts for almost 30% of all privately held U.S. firms. And the number of women businesses has really been steadily growing over time. Between 1997 and 2007, the number of women-owned businesses grew by 44%, which is twice the rate as men-owned firms. And the
they also added roughly 500,000 jobs during that time. So it looks like we're in pretty good position to move forward, and you talk to women businesses all over the country. So just give me a sense of what kind of readiness you're finding that they're at for exporting.
Definitely. And so working with my colleagues at the SBA and in their network of women's business development centers, we often see women-owned businesses coming to us who are usually not yet export ready, you know, kind of in the nascent stages there. And the interest is ticking up, which is really why I'm glad we're having this webinar today and talking about it with folks. And I also just wanted to, you know, focus on the export readiness portion of the webinar, you know, kind of show the impact of exporting and the potential that's there, and also just how to get ready, because that's a process on its own.
And then just another question about women-owned businesses. You know, kind of what industries are they concentrated in, and what's that say about export potential?
Definitely. In the study I cited before, basically we did a study a couple years ago on women-owned businesses in the 21st century, and that reflected that women-owned businesses, you know, they have strength in the healthcare industry, wholesale and retail, and financial services and other services sector, which is why I wanted to make a point in this webinar for the potential for services export, and that those are an exportable thing, and that we can help you do that, whether, you know, it's franchising or otherwise.
Oh, and you're right. A lot of times when we think about exporting, we think about it being a product.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and we know this from the women-owned sector, that they're big into services.
Mm-hmm.
So, good to know. We have a question in the chat box, which says, what's the average time period and investment to begin exportation if the product is already to go? Basically, how long?
Yeah, it varies, but if you're ready to go, I'd imagine it would only take a few months working through the commercial service. You know, it's just making sure that we can identify a buyer overseas and, you know, help facilitate that deal. But I believe once you are ready, the potential can be, you know, just within on a monthly basis.
Wow, that's incredible for the U.S. government.
That's being optimistic. Of course, some markets are more overwhelmed than others, and we're staffed differently in overseas markets. So it can depend, and, you know, just building a good relationship with your local commercial service officer is really important, because once you have that and once you're ready to go, there's a lot of that.
Another question is, does every state have a STEP program? Who do we call to get information?
Definitely. Something I'd like to give you guys here to do in your follow-up email is basically the link that explains the STEP program and the state offices for each program. And not every state decided to do the STEP program. I believe there's a couple that aren't in it. And so we can get you that information.
If I remember correctly, is that the program that some states are using to subsidize trips to other countries for small businesses so it's possible that you don't have to pay for a trip
exactly
to a country, that the state will actually pay your way?
Right, exactly.
Okay.
And by contacting these offices, like I said, I mean, they have the flexibility to determine how this money is used. So, you know, there's also avenues for companies to use this grant money to fund a Gold Key or other services.
So I actually have another question, which is, surely in the actually the short name for that export center is USEAC?
USEAC.
Right. Yes. So not everybody is an expert on every country and every USEAC. So how does that work? If I want to export to India, but the USEAC center close to me does not have an expert on India, how does that work?
We have various staffing levels around the country, but normally they divide staff up by the sector and, like, the industry.
expertise so that they can work with staff in country in India, and just, you know, there's a direct line of communication there to say, hey, I have a company in this sector interested in exporting to India. What can you tell me about the local market? How can we get them involved? And it's a really good direct line.
So. We have another question. You mentioned the women-owned businesses in the 21st century study.
Mm-hmm.
Where can we? One of the questions is, where can they find it?
Definitely, it's available online through the Economics and Statistics Administration. We can also send the link in our follow-up email. But we put it out through them and also with the Council on Women and Girls,
which is through the White House website. Everybody, of course, is thanking you on your chat box because you've given us so much good information. We also want to highlight a video at export.gov that's a good start for businesses that are interested in exporting. We couldn't do it through this system. In fact, we couldn't apparently even get the slides to work. But there is a video that we're going to recommend, and it's at export.gov/begin. So you might want to go to that. Again, it's export.gov/begin. Keep your eye open for other webinars that we're going to do in the next several months to kick off our Export Now initiative. I thank you very much for joining us. Anna, Kate, do you have any closing words?
Yes, thank you, Anne. Just so everyone knows, WIP is a nonprofit, nonpartisan public policy organization advocating on behalf of nearly 1 million women and businesses representing 67 business organizations. Thank you again for joining us, and thank you, Ashley and Anne, and everyone on the line.
Thank you.